Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast. What do you do when creepy creeps with eerie eyes start to shriek and harmonize and grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize? Well, we're going to talk about it today on Systematic Geekology. We're going to be discussing the theme park attraction, Haunted Mansion, some of our favorite fun facts about the ride, and then some of the other stories surrounding it, comics, movies, maybe a board game we'll mention, all kinds of craziness I didn't even know about till my good co-host, Evan Garcia, introduced me. I was like, hey, man, what if we talked about the box hat ghost? And I was like, you just mean the one with the cool hat? I mean, sure, we talk about the cool hat. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, there's a whole lore behind the hat and the ride. And so we're going to have a fun time. I'm Joshua Knoll. You may know me as Josh with the Bad Opinions. I'll start off with a bad opinion before we geek out. I've never liked the Haunted Mansion ride, but I like the stories around it. And I've always been intrigued. So this has been a really fun thing for me to research getting into. So Evan might be your main guy today. So we'll start with you, Evan. What are you geeking out on, man?
Cobra Kai Legends. I'm still riding that high. The Cobra Kai Karate Kid Legends.
You got to see it already?
I saw it with my kid, and now he wants to take karate classes again. And it's like, that didn't go well. That's why you are in baseball. So, but yeah, he loved it. I loved it. Fun times all around.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I got really into martial arts in like middle school, high school, and I did some MMA tournaments in college. I was really hyped to watch the new Karate Kid, and then I got a flat.
Dang.
So that stunk. Yeah. But I plan on probably watching it this weekend sometime. Yeah. Way before this comes out, most likely. Sorry, listeners. I'm just hanging out with Evan. You guys are just here. That's your fault. You're intruding on our hangout sessions. You thought this was a podcast, but no. Oh, man. I've been geeking out on just so many different things lately, mostly because I had like a 2-week span between my regular semester and then summer classes. And it's like, how much can I cram into this 2 weeks? One thing I'm going to talk about that I always geek out on any chance I get the chance to do this. And maybe this fall, if I end up in Florida, I can convince Evan and his family to do this. It's a fun game called Killer Bunnies and the Quest for the Magical Carrot. It's insane. I love this card game. I played it when Chris and Ashley came to visit me last week. One of our other hosts, my wife was home, and I was like, oh, hey, wait, no, we got three people. That's enough to play. And like they knew. It's Christian's fault I got into the game. He first introduced me, so he can't say no. He started this addiction. It's been strong for like 15 years. I've been playing this. I have every single expansion pack, and now I'm like looking to see when the next one might come out. And for context, the expansion started with like red, yellow, green. There are so many expansion packs now. Like, this is how you know they ran out of like kind. Like, yeah, no. There's literally pumpkin spice was one. I haven't got the pumpkin spice Killer Bunnies expansion pack.
They're trying to get more niche.
Yeah, yeah. But no, we are here to talk about Haunted Mansion. Before we do, though, if you're on a laptop, please consider rating and reviewing our show on Podchaser or GoodPod. It's going to help our show gain recognition, make it easier to find in those search engines like Google and Yahoo. I guess people use Yahoo, maybe. I'm sure if you put something on Podchaser, Yahoo will probably find it. Podchaser, GoodPods, rate us over there. If you're on your phone, you're not on a laptop, consider rating, reviewing, or commenting on our show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That's where most people listen to podcasts, and commenting on those apps prioritize our show in those apps, which helps the show a lot, and it's free, and it only takes like 2 seconds, And you can help our show so much with those 2 seconds. And we appreciate it a ton. We also appreciate any financial support because it costs a lot to keep a podcast running. And we have a lot of episodes and a lot of stuff we like to do because there's so many of us and we like hanging out with each other. And if you want to help make it possible, you can support our show on Apple Podcasts, Captivate, or Patreon. Today, we are shouting out one of our sponsors, Annette Knoll, my favorite aunt. Don't tell the other aunts. They already know, probably. It's fine. Annette, I love you. You rock. She is the one who turned me into a geek, I think. She groomed me for this podcast. She just didn't know. If you want your own shout out, you too, though, could sponsor our show again. $3 a month or probably less or more. Whatever. One of those three platforms, Captivate, Apple Podcasts, or Patreon. And you can get your own shout out. And just know that we appreciate you a ton. And we love you. All of you who sponsor us. You're loved. Very all right. On to the main episode. I'm excited for this. Evan, some of this I didn't know anything about until like this week. Because you're like, let's do this. Like some of it I didn't know. Some of like the lore and stuff. Because like I grew up near Disney World.
Sure. Yeah.
So you always hear some of those like little stories.
Yeah. Those legends.
Easter eggs stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are fun. I know of a few people who allegedly sprinkled the ashes of loved ones on the thing.
Oh, no. That happens all the time. I got stopped on a ride because someone did it. It's called Cold Gray.
Oh, yeah. And it definitely happens a lot at Haunted Mansion specifically.
Yeah.
And I think there's actually a really good, maybe theological is not the right word, anthropomorphical. No, I don't know. I'm going to say theological because I don't have anything philosophical. Mm. Reason why? We'll probably talk about that later. But yeah, Evan, tell us something about the history of this ride. Like how Haunted Mansion came to be. What do you know about the lore, the legend, everything behind this ride existing?
Loved the ride as a kid when I used to visit. And then probably around 2012, when I moved to Orlando, I started getting into Disney podcasts and the history and all that and learned about the Disneyland version first and how it started off as a walkthrough attraction. And it was going to be the something of the weird, the mansion of the weird or something like that. And they were going to have a walkthrough with kind of like a museum of the weird. And they were going to have kind of like scare actors are coming out at you and be very quirky. And then they changed it up and they added another Imagineer. Yale Gracie and Raleigh Crump. They're the two Imagineers that are usually attached to this ride. And they were kind of butting heads on the style of the ride. And then you can kind of see the two different styles in the ride. For the music, it was Zex Atencio. He wrote that music along with a lot of other theme park stuff. And there was another fun fact, but I think I'll leave it there.
Yeah. I found a few things when looking history. It up. And some of the stuff I knew a little bit about, actually, because of its connection specifically to Pirates of the Caribbean, which, for those listening, we did do an episode on the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction in the Disney parks before. And I'll try to put that link in the show notes. You guys know how bad I am at remembering to do that, but I'll try to remember this time. I think it was a really good episode. Me, Liz, and TJ kind of talked about it. There's a long history there. One of the fun things with Haunted Mansion is it was one of the first things actually built in Disneyland, but it wasn't actually populated with anything in it for a really long time because they kept attaching different people to the ride, to like the whole concept and everything. And it just kept not working, or Walt would kept being like, yeah, that's not what we want. And even Walt seemed to not really know if he wanted it to be scary or silly, you know, funny or scary, like one of the two. Like he kept going back and forth. One of the early concepts had it like the mansion actually looked kind of crepit on the outside and scary. So you have this like saying a lot of people just put everywhere that apparently Walt said. I don't know if there's any proof that he said
there's it. Always that.
We'll take care of the outside. The ghosts take care of the inside. At some point, Walt goes to Europe looking for ghost stories. He's like, I'm looking for ghosts that can retire to the Haunted Mansion. So they actually had a sign in Disneyland before it opened. So this was like 10, 20 years. There's a sign on the mansion that was just a closed building that just said, hey, this is where like retired ghosts come to chill, right? Mm-hmm. And then through all the different concepts and different stories that they came up with, like you said, like at one point, it was going to be like a walkthrough that they didn't really know what they were doing. At one point, there's all kinds of different stories. So a lot of the ghosts that are in there now are from older stories that got rejected. So they just kind of like have cameos to their own ideas, which the is really fun. Man. Yeah, it's great. One of my favorites that I found out they almost used was from the Winchester Mansion. And being a big Supernatural fan and hearing about like how the cult and everything was there, I was like, man, we almost had a Supernatural Disney connection. That would have been sick.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. And it's funny because like even when you hear like how they describe the walkthrough, that's basically what Universal Parks do now with the haunted houses. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, maybe Disney could still do that.
Because
it sounds like it's a winning idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Pirates of the Caribbean got developed after they started focusing on the World's Fair. So they dropped the Haunted Mansion project and a lot of other projects when they went to the World's Fair, built all the stuff for that, you know, It's a Small World, etc. Once they saw what the animatronics and stuff could do, that's when Pirates of the Caribbean went from being what was going to be a wax museum to a ride. And then after they did that is kind of when they were like, we could do something similar with the Haunted Mansion. And they even took the Doom Buggies in Haunted Mansion come from actually a space ride that they developed for the World's Fair. And it was like breaking edge technologies, having a ride that can do that loop where it never actually stops. That you see at so many other Disney rides now, and we all just take for granted. Yeah. But back then, that was like breaking technology. They were like, oh, hey, we can do this thing and it never stops. Because the problem
and with the bar that automatically closes you in. Oh, that was huge. So cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It was wild, man. And like, especially, especially like their big problem with the walkthrough, Disney was like, Walt was like, hey, wouldn't people just get stuck here and it'll be crowded all the time? And then they have this perfect solution. It's an attraction that never stops. Mm-hmm. You're like, man, it's crazy.
Hey guys, Christian here to talk about our YouTube page. That's where you can go find us at youtube.com/@systematicgeekology. We have exclusive stuff there, exclusive videos where you can just hear other topics that you'll never hear on the podcast proper. These include things like comic book catch up, where we're discussing the newest comics that we're reading, Friday Night Frights, where Joe Day and I explore a cryptozoological, paranormal, ufological item of discussion. Has a lot of good fun there. Have a lot of great times with him. We have spontaneous YouTube shorts that we decided to do, a topic we wanted to discuss. They're in a very short form. We do them there as well. You can interact with us live as we're recording like a What's New episode or something like that. You have something you want to chime in? Well, how can you do it unless you head over to youtube.com/@systematicgeekology. All right, guys. See ya.
Crazy stuff. And that's also where you see in Disneyland, the mansion is like really small. And you're like, wow, why is the attraction so much bigger than the actual building? So that's one of the big differences with Disneyland and Disney World.
Yeah, the show
building. It kind of has the TARDIS effect.
Yeah. Like,
it's bigger on the inside.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, it's just, there's so much fun stuff with it. And just like me loving the tech and like the animation stuff. And so one of Disney's Nine Old Men also worked on it. So the Imagineers, Nine Old Men, kind of the same, kind of not.
Yeah.
Most of the Imagineers were mostly like illusionist. It's almost like hiring Houdini for the park.
Yeah.
But the Nine Old Men actually did some of the designs. Yeah.
He would assign tasks to people that were like, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be painting dolls. Man. I'm not supposed to be making music.
One of the things I'm most upset about doing research in this, at some point, someone developed this. So this technology sounds so cool. I want to see it. Where one of the ghosts would like come at you and then completely dissipate into water and then rebuild himself.
I heard about this. And yes.
Like, oh, that sounds so cool. But it was so hard to keep it going. It wouldn't be able to loop. So they never used it. And I'm like, oh, but I still want to see that because that sounds cool.
Man, yeah.
But, you know, Mark Davis, same one who did the designs for Pirates of the Caribbean, does the designs for this when it comes to like animating, like what the stuff is going to look like. And that's where you get some of similar flares. Other fun Pirates of the Caribbean connections, Paul Frees, they have him do the voice. If you notice like the voice in the Pirates of the Caribbean, right? The dead man tell no tales. It's the same person who does the voice for Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion, the composer for the music's Buddy Barker, but the lyrics, Xavier Antonsino. I might be saying that incorrectly. I'm not sure. But his first time writing a song was for the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And he was able to write something that looped really easily. So they pulled him into Haunted Mansion as his very next project. So he went from like where I forget he wrote some other stuff, but not like lyrics like this So he went to kind of like a nobody to, hey, we're going to have you write two of the most iconic songs to Disney fans ever. Just crazy, man. They also, Marty Skier was kind of the one. Okay. I don't know how to talk. Jeez. he ended up being in charge of like the whole project. The fun thing about that is the comic we're going to talk about later, he actually writes the fore note for it. Like in the beginning, he writes a note about how the Haunted Mansion came to be. So yeah, I think that's all the background stuff I know. Do you know anything else that maybe I jogged your memory and you were like, oh, we got to mention this too?
No, that's a little bit of everything. So that works. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, just because I'm the pirate nerd, I also got to throw out one of the original ideas that's still kind of in the ride a little bit. If you squint your eyes and tilt your head, you know, at some point, it was going to kind of have you go up into the attic where we still go to the attic. Right. Mm-hmm. But the husband of the wife, because it's supposed to be two people getting married, it's going to be revealed that he's actually either regenerated or continued to live pirate captain. And it was going to kind of go through that pirate history, too. So it was almost kind of another pirate ride.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Which gets to like when we talk about the box hat ghost, he has a connection to that attic, too. Right. So we kind of, you know, we're going to end up going full circle with some of that. I don't know. The background stuff, if you haven't researched it, there's literally entire podcast shows that are all about the background.
Yeah.
I've been hard hyper fixating since you mentioned this to me.
Nice. You crammed it in there.
Yeah, man. All right. So what about other just like fun facts or some of the big differences between the Disney World and Disneyland version? Do you anything, you know, I know about Mr. Toad, and I know you want to bring up Box Hot.
Yeah, Ghost. The Mr. Toad that's in the not in the queue, but on the outside exit.
Yeah, which is so funny. They have a bust of him in the graveyard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know why that's funny, the Winnie the Pooh ride that's in Magic Kingdom now took the place of Mr. Toad's Wild Adventure or whatever it was called.
Yep.
So now in the Winnie the Pooh ride, there is a picture of Mr. Toad with Winnie the Pooh. And after they destroyed his ride, they put a bust of him in the Haunted Mansion Cemetery, which is kind of dark, but also really funny.
It fits.
It's great. Yeah. Yeah. So Box Hat Ghost. Break that down for us. That's one of the big differences between the parks.
That was originally for the Disneyland version, and it was a myth for a very long time. People didn't know that it was real because it only lasted like a month, and the effect didn't work very well, so they had to cut it. And for decades and decades, it was a myth until I think it was about 10, 15 years ago, a Imagineer, he figured out a trick on how to bring it back. And all of a sudden, boom, he showed up in the attic scene and people were flipping out. And it's really cool. And it fits in the attic. They kind of adjusted some of the story again. So people are all excited that the Hatbox Ghost is back, and it's a cool nod to us nerds that like to follow this stuff. And it was a nice addition to the ride out in Disneyland, California.
Oh yeah.
Now they bring it. They announced a few years ago that they were going to bring him over to the Disney World version. And people were kind of cranky about it. Like, no, you should keep him separate. Keep him as an original to the park. And then they brought him over and they put him in a spot that kind of, they don't put him in the same spot as they do in the Disneyland. Because for some reason, the attic scene in the Disney World version is like, they couldn't fit him in there. I was like, that's weird. So then they throw him in the beginning in the Infinite hallway scene. And to be honest, he does kind of stand out. He kind of looks kind of out of place, but he's such a cool effect that it's really nice to watch. But it does kind of throw off the vibe of the one half of the, like, when you're thrown out of the attic, when you fall out of the attic, that used to be a division point on like the two different versions of the ride. now they kind of blur it with the a ghost being so early on in the ride. Mm-hmm. So that causes just a little bit of a stir now. So,
yeah. Yeah. The Hatbox was really, that was really interesting to just kind of look into. Because a lot of the people's complaints is he's actually, that where he's at in Disney World is before you get introduced to like where the ghosts are, mm-hmm. which brings the question, like, is he even one of the 999 spirits, or is he outside of that? Is he something else? So that's really interesting. And what's really fun too is like he was on a lot of the merch even before they brought him back.
He was very popular. He was legendary because he literally was a legend. Like, we didn't know if it was real until Disney pretty much confirmed it. They're like, oh yeah, here you go, boom.
yeah. And then one of the our other hosts, good friend TJ,
yeah,
Guillermo del Toro, one of his favorite directors, actually owns a full replica of the Hatbox Ghost at his house.
I forgot he was a big fan.
yeah, it's so interesting. Well, and that's one of the so the 2003 Haunted Mansion movie has a lot of complaints people have about it. One of which, it doesn't have the Hatbox Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the newer film in 2023, that's actually the main villain of the film, or sort of the main.
Jared Leto.
Yeah. And then a comic we're going to talk about later, he's actually the one that's actually helping us through the mansion.
That was fun.
We got a few different takes in the stories, too, on who is this guy.
I have a little story here that I didn't confirm the confirmation of it not being true yet. But that story of Constance Hatchaway, the bride that's in the attic, that the story is that she killed all her husbands. Yeah. And she threw out a ring in the out of the window. She threw out her wedding ring, and you can see it in the queue for the Disney World attraction. What I didn't know was that if you look in the queue, there's a ring. However, that is a reference on a made up theme at Disneyland, where there was a ring, there was like a ring or some sort of screw or something that someone left in the concrete by mistake, and they built that lore around that. I had no idea that it was built upon just a construction mistake. That's funny.
That's really funny. Yeah. No, and there was a lot of like rumors and different stuff that happened because the mansion had been up in Disneyland so long before, you know, the things. If someone said someone fell in a pit of snakes or something, I heard. I remember about that. Yeah. And then what's funny too is because it wasn't really completed till after Walt's death.
Right.
So Pirates of the Caribbean was the last thing that he was actually actively a part of. And then this comes after he didn't even have a part in saying that it wasn't going to be walkthrough anymore. So that would, like, they made that decision after his death. He was always like,
a big point that he really wanted to get across is that he wanted it to be clean. He didn't want it to look dirty or to look old.
Yeah.
That's why it looks like what it looks like.
Yeah. And the Disney World version, even though you don't have the TARDIS effect because the outside is huge, it's still like that really pretty gothic architecture.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of changes in some of the other Disney parks, like the one in France where like it's not even the same name. It's mm-hmm. like Phantom Manor or something.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's because they have a completely different concept of death. So, you know,
every
culture treats death differently. So America has its own flavor that we're able to kind of do a lot of similarities between Disneyland and Disney World. But most Disney parks have a haunted mansion. And what's fun too is like so in the ride now, the way we have it, after all the cut and paste and rumors, and no one even really knows why the ride is what it is or the story behind all of the ghosts, so we can keep speculating forever and ever and ever, which I think is part of the fun.
It is.
The only reason, because I said earlier I never cared for the ride, I don't like the elevator part because I get like where I'm so close to everybody else, you know, like in line,
a stretching room.
Yeah. And you're like, everybody's like all like sardines, and I'm like, I don't like being this close to other humans.
In the dead center of the room.
Yeah, like if they would let me and one other person That's it. Just me and like one other person go through the line and be in the stretch room. I'd be fine. Once I get to the ride, it's fun. and so what's fun too, so you have like the basic concept that I think a lot of people get lost in because we're just enjoying the vibes and the fun. I think the basic concept for the story though is the house has to have something that's causing it to be haunted, to be cursed or something, right? And that's where you have the story of the wife, I forget what her name was, but you just
Constance said it Hatchaway.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have like her story. But then at the same time, because Walt left that sign up for so long of retired ghosts are going to come here, and we have like so much silliness in here. So it's like simultaneously, it has to have a reason it's haunted. And also a bunch of ghosts who aren't really part of that are just here to retire and have fun. And that's why like the first half of the ride is kind of like, or, you know, the queue and like the beginning of the ride is kind of like a little spooky, a little like you're going through a cemetery, you're going through the stretch room, all this stuff. And then once you get to like the bulk of it, it's like, oh, we're having fun. Cause then you're like where the retired ghosts are having their party.
Yeah.
And and that's where the comic we're talking about later, I feel like did a really good job of like having both themes where you have the people who actually died at the mansion and the curse. And also
because we're just kind of
having a party, man.
Mm-hmm. but you bring up a good point. Cause when you said the elevator scene, that confused me. I was like, there's an elevator scene.
Oh,
I thought you were talking about the hydrolators over at Epcot, but I was like, wait a minute.
Oh.
Then I remembered the Disneyland version is an elevator. The Disney World one is not.
Oh, what happened to the Disney World that makes it look like that?
Does
the top go up?
Yes. The top goes up. The reason why that's Disneyland cool. one is an actual elevator.
It's not actually in the...
Because you need to go below the train track. The train tracks drops you below the train track, and then you walk through it.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
that's cool. There's so much fun, random stuff with it. Mm-hmm. So for you with Box Hat Ghost, do you prefer the Disneyland version where he's with the other spirits, or do you prefer
continuity wise? Yes, but a ride wise. I've only seen the Walt Disney World one, so that's the one that I'm going to love forever.
Yeah, I always remember my favorite. So there's a little bit of nostalgia where you're like, I don't really care if it makes sense. That's where you're supposed to be.
Right. And there's a idea that I think they didn't put that much thought into this stuff as much as we put into it. I think they were just trying to get something done. Trying to look cool.
Yeah. Well, and that's where like I really feel like the fans helped build the ride in a way, because a lot of these rumors that fans created or stuff that we latched onto, Disney was like, okay, sure, that's part of it now. They just kind of incorporated
the floating the floating Madame Leota head. That was because of a fan did that too.
That's cool. I feel like this ride is like the process theology of Disney World. It's like always in a state of becoming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, it's so much fun though. Did you want to talk any about the movies before we talk about the comic, or are you like the movies are they exist?
The 2002 or the 2003 version with Eddie Murphy, that was a movie. It was whatever, but this last one was pretty fun. I really liked it, and because there was a lot of nods to different things for us nerds, but it still had a story beyond a divorced family or something like that. I was just like, okay, we can get over that.
Yeah. That first 2003 was
yeah.
What kills me about that 2003 one though? I really thought that original Haunted Mansion, and I think it's because I wasn't allowed to watch it because Eddie Murphy was in it. My parents didn't like me watching things with him in it other than specifically Shrek.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I don't know.
Beverly Hills Cop, man.
Because in my mind for a long time, this was an older movie, like early 90s or like, you know, like in my mind, like it was just like, this is an old classic and I can't wait to watch it because I wasn't allowed to. And it wasn't until this year that I found out this Pirates of the Caribbean and Elf all came out in the same year. And I'm like, my brain doesn't put any of these in the same time frame. I don't know why, but like, it just doesn't feel like it was the same.
That does not feel like that. Yeah. Wow.
But that's funny. It was. Yeah. It's crazy. And yeah, I think they got Pirates of the Caribbean a lot more right than they did the Haunted Mansion movie. But yeah, that 2023, it was better. It definitely had the MCU problem of like, we're going to really lean on the CGI on the third act, but it was supposed to be just so a fun movie. Too. And I think it was fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, the plot could be better. It was interesting how much fans liked it better than critics.
But yeah, that happens. True. Yeah.
I will say, from everything I see, the Muppets have done it the best of all the three
movies. That was so much fun. That was a sleeper hit. Like, no one knows about that. I love that. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's funny because from what I hear, they do the Hatbox Ghost more correctly, too, because he's not in the 2003. Mm-hmm. In the 2023, they make him the villain, and there's really nothing in the story that makes it seem like he should be the villain. And then Muppets were like, yeah, he's here, but he's not the villain. What are y'all talking about? Muppets knew what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this comic. I read this a while back whenever the Disney Kingdoms series was coming out, and they were doing these comics about all the different rides. Sometimes it was like the backstory. Sometimes it was just a story that happened and, you know, just kind of build the lore.
Yeah.
Was really fun. I mentioned earlier the Marty Skyer. You said how I say the name correctly.
Skalar.
Yeah.
Oh, Skalar.
Where's the L? Okay. Anyway, I forgot the L, I guess. he wrote a foreword in this comic. Nice. I love the art in this.
The art was beautiful.
To me, it's giving Scotty Young.
Okay.
It's not Scotty Young who does it. I don't remember who's the artist on this, but we'll look it up and tell me that I should have known that. It's fine. But the art, because the way it's drawn, you can both get some of the fun, silly moments and spookiness just because like the way the line work on it is what really, I think, makes it lend to both parts of the Haunted Mansion energy because it has its own, I don't know, Haunted Mansion has its own essence, I feel like, where it's like, yeah, 100%. It's spooky, but it's also silly.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a great job portraying that through art in this.
Hey friends, your pal Will Rose here. Sometimes I ask myself, self, have you ever wondered how you can support Systematic Ecology? Yes. Yes, I have. And well, if you're like me, you want Systematic Ecology to continue to grow and thrive. And you can do that by joining Patreon for as little as $3 a month. As a patron, you get bonus episodes. We answer bonus questions that our patrons get to hear. We have special shout outs. We have certain episodes that the patrons pick. So you help us create and curate the content that we put out for the world to hear. You even get free merch. And when I say that we're a worldwide podcast, that I'm not being hyperbolic. Somebody told me that we have over 20,000 subscribers from all over the world, and just half of those subscribers join Patreon for $3 a month. We would be set on keeping moving forward with the tech that we need to have the quality of podcast that we want our hearers to experience. And it'll help us get to certain events and conventions so that we can see you face to face and geek out with you in person. And let me just share that there's no shame, no guilt. If you can't join Patreon at this point, that's okay. That's okay. Just keep listening, keep sharing, keep liking, because yes, we're proud of what we're doing at Systematic Ecology. And friends, guess what? You can subscribe to Patreon for free to receive one extra bonus episode a month via the Patreon or Spotify app. That is fantastic. And we're glad that you're a part of it.
Did you want to break down what this, since you just read it? Yeah. I read part of it recently, but I haven't finished it in about a year. So maybe you want to break down what happens in this comic for everybody.
It is a personal story between a kid and his grandfather. And the kid he's kind of scared at school. He kind of gets bullied, and he's not the bravest little toaster, but then through this experience of the mansion, he deals with his grandfather's death that was so important to him. And he learns, you know, to be brave, and he learns so many new lessons. And that's what I liked about it, that it wasn't very superficial. It was a very, very deep relationship that he had with his grandfather that led him to be able to survive what they threw at him in the mansion, And he, and through a lot of twists and turns, he learns about himself and how to deal with trials that come his way. And there's a lot, tons of Easter eggs in this that were like, oh, that was a nice nod. Oh, that was a nice nod. Oh, that was funny. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Like the whole time, I was like, huh.
Yeah.
My favorite was the falling backwards out of the attic. I'm like, touche. Kind of like how on the ride, when you go out the attic, you go on your back. I'm like, that was nice.
Nice. Yeah. There's a lot of just cool little Easter eggs and nods all throughout it. You can tell the people writing the comic has a passion for the ride. You know, it's not a retelling of the movies. It's definitely about the ride. Well, one of the other things I love, so the same comic series, Disney Kingdoms, they did the Tiki Room, and it was very much like a backstory to how the Tiki Room came to be.
Okay.
And I think originally that's what I thought this was going to be. And now doing the study and like looking into it, I'm like, I'm really glad they didn't do that, because part of the fun is we don't know how the Haunted Mansion came to be or what the original ideas were or where some of the ghosts came from or any of that. So to have it like not explained, but then him fully experiencing all of the parts of the Haunted Mansion and the different stories that we do know about and some of the myths and legends hinted at but not confirmed in the comic, I'm like, yeah, this is how you do this. This is perfect storytelling if you're going to explore this attraction for what people love it for.
I could totally see this as like a one-shot limited series on like Disney Plus or something, where they throw in all this because that was exciting, because they even mentioned that sign that you said about the ghost,
retired ghost.
Yeah. They drop a mention of that sign too. I said, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. Man, it's so much fun. And
I think that Sailor was a new addition that was kind of because of the Q remodel in Walt Disney World. I wanted to see when this was made, because I think that's when they got that. And that's pretty cool, because they are keeping up with what they're doing. They are keeping up with the times of.
Yeah. I think these comics are just like a year or two old, if I remember right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Super old. Okay. I don't think. I could be wrong, but yeah, no, it's cool. I love that. And I love just the way it's told, because it has its own story, but it takes place in this ride in such a way that we can explore all the stuff that we love about the Haunted Mansion while also going through the emotional arc of this kid looking for his grandfather, who ends up his grandfather's spirits in the mansion. Right. All of that's just really well done. Storytelling is great. As far as like the elements, what's kind of fun that I think adds to the mansion lore. And I don't know if other park ride enthusiasts are going to be on board with this part of the lore, but like now we have four of the ghosts that died on grounds, and that's why they have some more powers than the other spirits that are just kind of retired.
Yeah,
so that kind of gave significance to those four specifically. One of them being Box Hat Ghost, who helps our main character throughout the mansion, one of them being Constant, and what was the other one?
Is it the captain?
I'm sorry, I put you on the spot. The captain was one. Yeah. Was the head the lady whose head's in the thing? Was that the other one? Or
oh yes,
or somebody else.
Yeah.
A great four to choose if you have to choose four. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
it was so well done. But all right, man. Well, I want to get to some of the deeper stuff before we start wrapping this up. But because one of the things that makes this attraction magical, that makes people keep coming back to the song and the ride and wanting more movies and wanting that board game that came out and comics. And like, I think what keeps bringing us to it is it's not just spooky and it's not just silly. It's not making a mockery of death, but it's acknowledging it in a way that I don't know, almost in a way that transcends things. Like, oh yeah, ghosts are real. They're not all tormented. They're all having a bad time. Some of them are having a good time. Yes. And it's funny because like in the one sense, it's funny because we typically think of ghosts as scary and haunting and whatever. And it's like, oh, ghosts having a good time. That's kind of funny, a little silly. But I also think there's something more magical, more beautiful about it. And maybe part of why so many people want their ashes to be there, even though that's illegal. Don't do that, guys.
Please don't. It breaks down the whole ride.
Yeah, it's sad. But like, part of the reason, like, actually makes sense to me. And it goes back to a quote I recently encountered with Dietrich Bonhoeffer, where he talks, where he's talking about hell, and he says, death is hell and cold and dark, but our faith can transform that. And that's what's beautiful. We can transform death. And I think that's part of what we're doing with this riot. And now I'm not trying to equate the riot of Christianity or faith or like being, making it more than it is. But I do think that's why we're attracted to it. It's like, it's taking this concept of death and scariness and ghosts and transforming it into something fun and whimsical and light. We're finding the light in the dark, which is also why I think Kingdom Hearts needs to do some worlds that aren't just movies. Take some of the attractions, do worlds off an attraction. I'd be down to go through the Haunted Mansion in Kingdom Hearts. It'd be great.
Yeah. The first time that I realized that there was something else going on, that there was something special going on with this ride, was one of my first memories about to going on the ride. I remember we part from our 4-hour trip, and we were going through the gate, going through Main Street, and my mom goes, "Oh, I can't wait to go see the ghosts." I was just like, "Wait a minute! You just told me that ghosts are demons, and like there's a whole spiritual warfare thing going on." But you like the ghost ride? So that kind of like snuck in there. I'm like, wait, what? So there's a special thing that this ride kind of balances, is different tones and stuff like that. And I think that's why some people got all discombobulated when they put the Hatbox Ghost so early on in the ride, you know, because they care for it, because this is a special piece of storytelling. So,
yeah. And I think a lot of people put more meaning into the ride than they realize they do.
Yeah.
You know, like they think this is just a fun ride, but really a lot of memories and nostalgia is attached to it. And the more you deal with the death, the more you're like, I kind of like this thing where like we're making light of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of like, just maybe it's just part of American culture. I don't know if it's in other countries as much, but it's like part of why we do make some dark, morbid jokes and stuff is because like we're trying to transform this thing that is hell and dark and cold, as Bonhoeffer said, and transform it into something good and positive. And that doesn't mean we're making fun of death and making fun of the fact that people died or anything like that. It can just simply be that we're trying to find good in a place that we know there's no good, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's just a lot to love about it. And I do think you're getting at something too, with like we treat ghosts as like demonic and stuff like that. And I'm thinking about Harry Potter as well.
Mm.
And I think this is where like humor can open up the door to nuance, where you're like, okay, once we make jokes about
100%
and ghosts and stuff, we're like, okay, wait a minute, maybe it's not all the scary stuff I thought. I'm pretty sure it's not just dancing in the afterlife as ghosts in the Haunted Mansion either, but maybe it opens you up to have more nuanced conversations where you're like, okay, the humor broke through my wall and I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not completely right. I'm pretty sure that's not the image either, but let's have a more nuanced and more deeper conversations about these things. I think that's what comedy does as well. You know, Pirates of the Caribbean, I think, does the same thing. I certainly think Harry Potter does a lot of that when it comes to like magic, witchcraft, that kind of stuff. Like, obviously, I'm not for pagan religions, but also I'm like, maybe we demonized magic a little too much.
Exactly.
I think some of the humor in Harry Potter allows us to open up these conversations.
It becomes more of a boundary maintenance, like, oh,
yeah,
you like that? I don't like that. Stuff like that.
Yeah. And also, sometimes it's just fun.
That's okay. Ghosts come out to socialize.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that song is always in my Halloween playlist. And if it's not in anyone's listening's playlist for Halloween, they're doing Halloween wrong.
Oh, the one I mentioned that the comic book did that I was like, yeah, was the description that the a ballroom ghost said that at Christmas time, this place is a nightmare. Do you understand that reference?
Not completely. I know they do some different stuff.
You
can see Jack Skellington outside the castle around Christmas time.
Exactly. At Disneyland, they do a Haunted Mansion overlay. The Nightmare Before Christmas overlay. And they have like Zero the Ghost and they have Jack Skellington. So I was like, whoa, that was a nice little mention right there.
Yeah, that's great. I also know during Halloween time, you can find, sometimes you'll find Jack Skellington, sometimes you'll find the Headless Horseman. One of the original concepts for the walkthrough, they were going to have a headless horseman from Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
I remember when he would go through the parade streets. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is also another thing I love about Mr. Toad being an Easter egg in the Haunted Mansion ride is like at one point the headless horseman was going to be in the ride. And instead, from the same film that we got, we get Mr. Toad. It's like that's kind of cool that we still get that little bit of tie in there. Yeah. But since we mentioned the comic so much, and I know Will will be screaming at me, it's a 5-issue series by Disney Kingdoms, The Haunted Mansion, written by Joshua Williams and drawn by George Coelho. I might be saying that wrong. Colored by Jean-Francois Baliot. I definitely said that wrong.
Fancy.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, with that, if you're cool, I'm ready to jump to the wrap-up, I think.
Go for it.
All right. Well, guys, as always, we're going to have a bonus question at the end for those who are on Patreon, Captivate, or Apple Podcasts. We're going to ask if we could add any ghost from any other IP, cartoon, movie, ride, doesn't matter, to this attraction, what ghost would we add for the 1,000th spirit? If you want to know the answer, you got to go Patreon, Apple Podcasts, Captivate, one of those. But if you had to give a recommendation, Evan, for our listeners, what would you recommend for those listening?
Going through the comic was fun. Thanks for sharing the comic with me because it reminded me of another series that I only read the first book, but my daughter got into it and she read them, was the Kingdom Keepers. Ooh. Kingdom fun. Keepers, a series of books where they go, it's basically the Night of the Museum, but it's at the Disney parks. And they have different adventures after hours, and the rides, they all come alive and stuff like that. It was so popular that Jon Favreau, he was going to make like a film series. Ooh. But then he kind of pivoted into the Jungle Book and stuff like that. But if you guys like the Disney parks and like some cool storytelling, check out the Kingdom Keepers books.
That does sound fun. That does sound a lot of fun. My recommendation... Also, thanks because of the comic, reminded me. I love this whole series. If you love the Tiki Room as much as I do in Disney, you gotta read the Disney Kingdom's Tiki Room comics. Another 5-issue series. It's a lot of fun. Gives you kind of the backstory of that attraction. I was gonna say ride. It's not really a ride, but I have a lot of fun with that. So check it out if you guys are into comics and like Disney attractions. It's worth it. And if you're on your laptop, consider rating and reviewing our show on Podchaser or GoodPods. It's going to help our show gain recognition and stuff like Google, Yahoo, those things. Make it easier to find. If you're on your phone, you can rate, review, or comment on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's going to help our show be easier to find in those algorithms, which are where most people listen to podcasts. Also, I want to do a shout out to one of our sponsors, Annette Knoll. You rock. Remember, you guys can get your own shout out if you support our show also, like Annette, for $3 a month on either Captivate, Apple Podcasts, or Patreon. We're about to do a bonus question. Check it out. And remember, we're all the chosen people, a geekdom of priests. Later.
Here at Systematic Geekology, we believe in a few things. We believe that there is freedom in Christ to like what you like. We believe that Christian nationalism is a heresy. And probably most important that I'm going to talk about today, at least, is that we believe the best place to spend your extra cash is on the Systematic Ecology merch store. That's right. This is a shameless shill for our own products. We go through Creator Spring, and we have a few great products on there. Me personally, I'm a big like black shirt kind of guy, you know, muted colors. But there's nothing better to like throw a little some extra on there with like a black baseball cap, the dad hat with the Systematic Ecology logo on it. That's a classic. I just really think if you've got a couple, you know, 30 extra dollars, that's for us.
Hi, friends. It's Laura here. And I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Geekology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My seminary life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Geekology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.